Good morning, Church of the Good Shepherd.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Chris Cooper, but y'all know who I am, so I don't have to come up here and introduce myself too often anymore. And I'm super grateful to be bringing the word to you this morning. And man, just grateful that the Lord woke us up this morning to bring us to a place to come in community and hear his word and worship his holy name. So the first thing that I'm going to be doing is reading the scripture, which will be Psalms 124. And then after that, we'll pray and then we'll get into the sermon. Amen. Amen. So let us get our Bibles and turn to Psalms 124. And it reads, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. But blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let us feast on his word today." Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, just grateful and thankful, Father God, that you woke us up this morning, Father God, to bring us into this place of fellowship and community. We are grateful that we can come here and worship your holy name. Holy Spirit, do what you always do. Lead us and guide us, Father God, in the direction we're supposed to go, Father God, because walking amongst this world sometime, Father God, can feel lonely and depressing. We're asking that you be a light unto our pathway, Father God, that you continue to lead us towards you and your presence more and more. Holy Spirit, soften the hearts of men, Father God, so that the word of God in seed form may be firmly rooted into our hearts, Father God, so that we may be a tree that produces fruit for your glory and your glory alone. Put Chris Cooper behind the cross and allow your glory to show forth, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. As we look at this particular psalm in Psalm 124, just to give you a little context, this is a psalm that is being prayed or it is being sung as God's covenant people is making a journey to Jerusalem. They have been scattered abroad to live in foreign nations that may not worship their God. And they know at this particular time that they get on a path and a journey to go to the presence of God. Most of the time felt like and found in Jerusalem, the home place, the place of their covenant where God resides. And they are singing and praying this song. And I can imagine them like I can imagine us in the church as we recite things and as we worship God and as we sing things. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. It is said twice, right? In continuance, it is settling in our hearts and it is letting us know as we go on this journey, as we are a community of saints who are taking this pilgrimage to the presence of God where he resides forever and ever, it is affirming to us that God is on our side. God is on our side. Why do we need to know this? Why does this need to be firmly rooted in our hearts? Why do we have to have affirmation and continuance of saying, if it had not been to the Lord, for the Lord on our side? We need it because we tend to live in a world that does not remind us. And I like, as you get into the second verse, it said, when people rose up against us. The main thing that seems to discourage us or make us feel hopeless or makes us feel like we're not loved, that can swallow us up is people. Don't you know in this world, people make up communities, people are in our jobs, people are in our churches, people are in our households, multiple people we have to communicate with, we have to converse with, and they may not believe what you believe. They may not have the same thoughts as you. Don't you know when they're angry, sometimes they will go against you. It seems to me the one thing that causes us to feel like God is not on our side is people. And guess what? This makes sense to me, because if I was scattered from Jerusalem, and if I was taking a pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, the place where I felt most normal, the place that connected most with me, and I had to live amongst people who were not of the promise, I believe many times they would not be happy with me. They would look at me as a foreigner. They would look at me as someone who has a different walk, have a different culture. I believe that the people of God in this very moment knew what it was like to be disregarded, to be disrespected from people who rose up against them. But here's the catch. A lot of other people knew that these people would be making the journey, that God's covenant people would be making the journey to Jerusalem. And they historically know that there were robbers and thieves who would come in to the camp and try to take away from God's people. What are robbers and thieves? They are people just like us. And guess what they were doing? Rising up against God's covenant people, deterring them on their pilgrimage to get to his presence. Don't you know we need to know that God is on our side, because not all people agree with you. This psalm is written by David. There is no better example in the scripture that tells us that people, that communities, that nations will rise up against God's covenant people than the story of David. Throughout his reign as king, and we understand it is a dynasty that will never, never end, we see the Philistines, people within a nation, within a community, who are always trying to defeat God's covenant nation. They're always trying to come in, discourage, plunder, talk about, defy the living God. Don't you know that David also had to deal with his own people going against him, God's covenant people, because when King Saul found out he was the anointed one, he sent the army after David, and he had to hide in caves and he had to run away. So sometimes the people that rise up against us is sitting right next to us in the church. And we have to learn how to love them. Not only did David have to deal with that, but he had to deal within the people within his own four walls of his household. Absalom rises up, says David is unworthy, that he's not mighty enough, basically makes him run from the throne. I don't know about you, but it would be no greater hurt than my own child rebelling against me, saying that you are not of God. He had to learn how to say, God is still on my side, despite my son and people. Whether it's those who are not in the covenant of God, whether it's those who are within God's covenant and they just getting on your nerves, or whether it is within your family structure, when they rise up against you, when it makes you feel hopeless and feel forgotten and feel like, God, how can you be in this mess? When it seems like the flood is coming towards you and you about to drown and the thing is rising above you and it is tormenting you, you have to be reminded, if it has not been for the Lord on our side, You have to be reminded that I can trust in a mighty fortress, that I can trust in God, that when people rise up against me, he holds me close and he loves me. And he has me. Say it again, Israel, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side. Yeah, people can take us there. Yeah, people can make the waters rise. Yeah, people can make us feel like we're drowning in a sea of hopelessness and raging waters is bashing up against us. But I like when it goes on to the sixth verse where it says, you know what? If we're affirmed that the Lord is on our side, then guess what? It says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. You want to know how I can trust in the Lord who is on my side? It's because I know he is a deliverer. That when the jaws of life, from people doing things to me, whether it's nations, communities, whether it's those who know God, who don't, whether it's my own family, whether it's my own church family, people who I love are coming and raging waters is coming against me and it's enclosing and it seems like the jaws of life are about to shut and you see the teeth coming together. I always like those Looney Tunes cartoons. That's what I grew up on, and the teeth are perfectly aligned that when something bites down, they interlock or connect. Now, I go to the dentist. My teeth do not do that. So I often wonder, like, where do they get the imagination from to make that happen? But when the jaws of life seem to be enclosing and becoming interlocked and neatly just seems like it's putting itself in place, and us as the people of God can feel that pressure, can feel that darkness, can feel that hopelessness, can feel like, man, is there anybody with me? Don't you know it says here that not only does he open the jaws, but he breaks the teeth and he gives us a way of escape. He deliver us. I know the enemy comes about like a roaring lion, right? Trying to destroy us and trying to utilize individuals, peoples, nations, whatever it may be to discourage us. But don't you know when Jesus died on the cross, oh death, where is your sting? We have the victory because he delivers us. It doesn't matter where you are. Maybe you're going to be the foreigner, right? College students, you're going to go out into the world. You may move to a different place, live in a different state, go to a different church. You better believe that God is on your side. It doesn't matter if it's on a college campus or if it's in Raleigh, North Carolina, or we can go to Fayetteville, wherever your foot may land. Don't you know he is a deliverer there also? Because God is on your side. I loved Mark coming from Psalms 118. Look, man, I put it down right. And I was like, dang, the Whipples is preaching my sermon. They need to keep going. But this is Psalm 18, 17. It says, he rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. We see in this psalm, right? Psalm 124. Not one time when he gets to that sixth verse does David say, it was my power, it was my will, it was my strength. He said, nope, nope, nope. It was all God. Because he was on my side. No matter how much the jaws of life enclamped around me and how I felt, it was him who broke the snare. It was him who led the way of escape. It was him who delivered. And he is the one who was mighty to save. He's the one Who is too strong for our enemies, those people to keep us locked up? He is the one who will rescue me. He is the one that when I can't do it, his grace is sufficient, baby. His power will help me overcome to walk in victory. Why? Because he is on our side. So if he's on our side and he delivers us from that hopelessness, the jaws of life pressuring us and the raging waters beating up against us, and it seems like the teeth are perfectly in place, but he breaks it, then we can get to the eighth verse with a sense of celebration on this pilgrimage, on this journey as we walk this Christian walk. And it says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So if he's on my side and I can trust him and he is the deliverer, no matter what place I may be in, then guess what I must come to a conclusion of? He is our help. God is our help. How do we know that? It is all throughout the scripture from the very beginning. That's why it says, blessed is the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but what is the first verse of Genesis 1? It says, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. That means if he created all things, he is the answer to all things. Matter of fact, when he created the heaven and the earth, it goes to tell us that he separated the sea from the land. He separated, you know, from the day and the night. He gave the vegetation, the plant life. He went and made the animals. Why? Because he is our help, right? He creates human beings. We would have been a pile of dirt, but he breathed the breath of life within us. That means we are absolutely nothing without whose help? God without his help. Then we go on to see that you got Cain and Abel, and you got individuals killing people, and you got individuals taking the fruit from the tree, Adam and Eve, but he still went on to tell us that somebody's going to bruise the head of the serpent, which is his son, because he is our what? Help. You can go to Abram, took him out of his land, made a covenant with him. You're going to go to this land. I'm going to be your God. And guess what? You're going to have a nation that is so huge and so amazing, you can't even count it. Why? Because that promise is on me, and because I am your what? Help. Keep going. Hey, Moses. My people are enslaved. They're downtrodden upon. I called you to come. Let my people go. No longer are they enslaved, but we get the Ten Commandments. Become a nation where I will be your God and you will be my people, and I'll make sure you reach the promised land. Why? Because he is our help. He is our help. So David can just continue the trend. David, hey, Goliath, come up against you. You said, who is this giant who defiles the mighty army and the king, our Lord and Savior, right? Who is this individual? I will walk in the face of Goliath and I will slay him. Why? Because God is our help. And from every king, through every lineage and nation and everything that has happened, even when God's covenant people looked hopeless, he kept a king in place. He made sure that the lineage would never die until it came to his son, who he sent for us, because he saw humanity and its sinfulness, and it was exceedingly wicked. Their hearts were, and they could not be saved. And Jesus died on the cross by grace through faith, baby, that we are saved, because God is our help. And he didn't end there. Because he sent the Holy Spirit, which is our what? Helper. And he said it will teach you all things. It'll bring into remembrance all things within the scripture that you read. And it'll lead you and guide you, because what? He is our help. And the Great Commission was sent, and they was empowered. He said, I will always be with you until the end of the earth. Why do we need to affirm that? Because he is our help. Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus, messing up Christians. Why do you persecute me? Paul goes blind. Send somebody, take the scales off. And Paul quickly realized, man, I've been doing it all wrong. Why? Because God is our help and he is on our side. Scripture confirms this. Throughout the whole Bible, it confirms that we are absolutely nothing. We can't do anything. It's not by my might, but it's his might. It's not by my power, but it's by his power. It is the same thing that is written in this verse right here. The very source of why we can do what we do. The very source of us being delivered and broken away from the snare and the entrapment of our sinfulness and the sinfulness of people, where we can love our neighbors despite what is going on, is because we have affirmation to know the Lord is on our side and he is our help. So we'll always say our help is found in the name of the Lord, the awesome creator, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is our help from the beginning, in the middle, until the very end, where we go to be with him for eternity. And as we know that with our hearts, he's a deliverer, he's a mighty fortress, he's a helper, and guess what? He is on our side. So we can all agree, as I end this thing, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Let Israel now say. But you know what? I'm not going to say let Israel now say. Now, I know you don't do this, but I'm going to end it this way. CGS, I'm going to challenge you right now. I ain't going to say let Israel. I'm going to say let CGS say. So on the count of three, we're going to say a phrase that starts out in Psalm 124, and it's states, if it had not been the Lord on our side. That's all I want you to say. Say it with conviction, because you all are on the journey in the presence of our Lord and Savior, and we need to affirm that that thing is real. So, are you with me? Yes, sir. Let's go. All right. So, one, two, three. If it had not been for the Lord on our side. Yes. Hallelujah. Does that not hit here? Can't cry right now, but does it not hit here? If it had not been the Lord on our side, where would we be, like the song says? I am so grateful. We are so grateful for a Savior who delivers us and who is our help and who is on our side. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Father God, we are encouraged at the fact, Father God, as we continue to walk this walk, Father God, that we are not doing it alone, but that we are doing it with someone who will never leave us nor forsake us, who is always on our side, Father God, who delivers us, who walks with us, who carries us, Father God, who just seems to be present even when we are hopeless, Father God. We just want to say thank you. Continue to be our help, Father God, and give us a heart to trust in you and continuing to be grateful for what you do, how you do it, and the help that you bring. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.